podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Jay here, Stretford Paddock. This is the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast. We're back. Myself and Ronaldo Brown. Ronnie, how are we doing?
Listen, you took time out of your Hollywood schedule.
Don't know what you're talking about, mate.
So let me co-host with you.
I've always got time for the little people, Ronnie. You know that. I'm only messing with
the little people.
But we have got some big people on the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast coming up. We're going to be here every week from now throughout the transfer window, speaking to the very top tier journalists, those who are ITK. And what better way to kick it back off than speaking to Mike McGrath from the Daily Telegraph. He's been chatting to us about all the latest transfer news, including Kieran Trippier, Jadon Sancho and Danny Ings. Sure about that one. Anyway, here's what Mike had to say. Mike McGrath, the football reporter from The Telegraph, joins us. Mike, thanks for coming on the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Jay.
Not at all. I just want to ask you, first of all, about Kieran Trippier. This is a story that's been going on for a little while. You've been covering it for some time. There was talk of interest, or United having long-term interest in Kieran Trippier. So how long has this interest been going on for, and how likely do you think Kieran Trippier is to join Manchester United this summer?
So I first reported it in around December time, when I heard that United were looking for a right back, like a support for Aaron Wan-Bissaka rather than a replacement. And Trippier was somebody that they were looking at. I think since then he's won La Liga with Atletico. He'd still be an ideal player to come in, give ideal support to Wan-Bissaka and share the workload a little bit. I think there are a few issues with the deal because Atletico look at him and think that there's, if they have to replace a right back, it's going to take 25 million plus for somebody of that calibre. I think they'd rather him sign a new contract. So it probably will take quite a lot of money for him to leave for Man United, but he's definitely one that United would look at.
Do you think he'd be willing to come to Manchester United? Because like you said, there is that competition with Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's, for me, had a good season. Do you think he'd be willing to come and sort of maybe have to sit on the bench a little bit?
I think so. I you know, he's had a, obviously he's won the title, like I say, but he's got family back in England, which you know, could be a factor for many players that are abroad. I don't think anybody would come to Manchester United and think that they were going to play every single game. I think there's going to be an element of rotation for next season, and there always is competition for places at United. So I think he would back himself to play a lot of games. And I think for every top team now in the Champions League, you'd want one in every position.
Definitely, most definitely. I rate Kieran Trippier, and I think he'd be a good addition to the United squad.
Yeah, I think he brings a slightly different element, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely, going forward as well.
A man that looks pretty much nailed on to become a United player after the transfer window is Jadon Sancho, but you've reported that some United players are supposedly quite big fans of Jack Grealish. Do you think Jack Grealish is still an option for United in the summer?
Well, I wrote that kind of just before the Europa League final, and in there it does say that, yes, that some of the United fans, United players, are huge admirers of Jack Grealish from what they've seen on England duty or playing against him. But my information is that Ollie's number one target would be Sancho. So if he could get him, then Sancho would be the one to fill that right wing spot, which United have been trying to get nailed down the last few seasons. And I think Grealish also would, he has obviously interest from Man City, which would, who would be looking to sign him, which would be real stiff competition for United. I think if I was to look at it at this moment in time, you think that Sancho is kind of ahead of Grealish as we speak.
So do you expect Jadon Sancho to definitely be signed? Do you think it's going to be one of them where the saga is...
I never say never because, I thought, being here last season, I thought last summer, I thought there's a real chance as well, but it turned out that it just didn't, they didn't meet the 108 million that United wanted, and that deal never materialised. So I think you can say never say never, but I think they would definitely like him if they could.
You've been praising Jadon Sancho's performances recently. How do you kind of see him fitting in to the system at United and playing alongside the young talents such as Rashford and Greenwood?
Yeah, I think he's totally gone under the radar actually this summer. This season because he's playing abroad basically, we don't see him on Sky Sports every week, and I think even Phil Gary Neville and Carragher kind of missed him off their England squad when they were doing their predictions. But I think he'd be ideal on the right, cutting in and try and set up or score goals, or even as a number 10, although obviously Bruno Fernandes is in that position predominantly, but I think he would play on the right, and then Greenwood I don't think would play every game anyway, and would be brilliant kind of in and out of the team or coming off the bench, and obviously Marcus Rashford I think also needed a bit of help last season. He said recently he was kind of struggling physically, and I think you could see that in some of the performances end of the season. I don't think there's a doubt that Ollie needs numbers and needs players, and he would be, he would definitely add quality to that front line.
Mike, on the Donny van de Beek front, you've written about him in the past, and you mentioned the fact that, ironically now, that the Euros could be an opportunity for him to sort of prove himself. At the time of recording this, we found out that he's not going, he's got an injury. How much of a blow do you think that is, and sort of how much do you reckon Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rates Donny van de Beek? Because there's reports that maybe he doesn't quite fancy him as much as some people would expect.
Well, I mean, you'd probably think that those reports have probably got a bit of substance. The fact that United had their biggest match of the season, had 120 minutes and could make five substitutes, and he wasn't one of them. This is a player brought in to be a match winner, and to not get on the pitch, I think, was a real blow for him. And I think the Euros would have been perfect to go and show Ollie, yes, this is what I can do. So it's really heartbreaking for him, and quite disastrous for him, really. He's in that bracket of, no player puts their hand up and says, I want to leave Manchester United. You normally kind of get booted out because it's that kind of club. I don't think he'd be wanting to admit failure at this stage, but I think that if you're not playing, there would definitely be some questions to be asked about his future at the club. He wouldn't want another season just sat on the bench. Again, who would come in to buy him is a different question, or whether he'd be allowed out on loan. But you wouldn't want another season like what he had.
Do you think he can have a future at Manchester United? Because, I mean, a lot of United fans have a big opinion about Donny van de Beek. He seems to be one of those players that when he's not playing a lot, and as you mentioned there, he hasn't played a lot of people, especially on social media, are questioning why. I haven't seen a lot of him, I'll be honest. I saw a little bit of him at Ajax. But do you think he has what it takes to be a success at Manchester United?
Yeah, I wouldn't write somebody off after one season, just like kind of down the years. I think we've had a lot of players that have been written off quickly. Dennis Bergkamp when he first came over. It takes time to adapt. He has not adapted, obviously. He needs time. And I think there's still questions, obviously, about Paul Pogba's long-term future if you've only got a year on your contract. So perhaps there is time for him to bed himself in and have a long-term future at Man United. I just think it's going to take faith in the manager to put him in the team first. You can't do anything when you're on the bench. And then for him to show that he's adapted to English football.
You mentioned Paul Pogba. I asked you quickly about Paul Pogba. Any updates there? What do you think is going to happen with him? Do you expect him to be a Manchester United player past the summer?
I do actually. I think he will start next season. I just there's a decision will have to be made from what I get told by big clubs and big players that there normally is an indication of where it's going to go. So this summer he will have there will be a conversation. He'll know that he's either going to run this down or he's going to get a new contract. I've got a feeling he'll stay. That's not based on anything but my own feeling that a big player like that would be very difficult for Manchester United to let go on a free transfer after making him the Premier League's most expensive purchase. I think that they would look to sign him for longer because of the asset that he is. Like I say, that's a hunch that I have rather than based on anything that I've heard.
No, we'll run with that. That'll do us anyway.
But another United player whose future is very much up in the air is Juan Mata. What's the latest on Juan Mata and his contract talks and whether he's going to stay or whether he's going to go?
So on the retained list, obviously last week they said that he was having talks with United over a new deal. I think that he's obviously comfortable at the club and with the lifestyle that he has, and that another season would probably suit him. I mean, he was another one who's brought on in the Europa League final. The motivations for that, I mean, he took one of the first five penalties, I think, so maybe it was a penalty move rather than anything more tactical than that. But I think as a person to be in the squad, I think he's a pretty kind of safe bet for Ollie. And they're going to see numbers next season. I don't think it'd be the worst shout in the world to give him another year, even though some of the comments on my Twitter were a bit derogatory when I posted that they were in talks over a new deal.
Can't be derogatory about Juan Mata. You've got to love Juan Mata. Come on.
Proper gentleman.
Exactly, man. Seriously, what is going on?
Another player that United have been supposedly interested in as a possible striking option is Danny Ings. How concrete is the interest from United in Danny Ings?
Reported myself that there's been an inquiry about his situation. He's got a year left on his contract at Southampton and is seen as by more than Manchester United as a very good striking option, which would come at a reasonable price, considering where he is in his contract and the fact that he's 29 years old. He wouldn't cost the ends of the earth compared to the strikers at the top end, which people are jostling for: Harry Kane, Lukaku, Haaland. I think he would be a really good addition for many teams. So it doesn't surprise me that that United asked about him and that others have others are showing a bit of interest.
It's weird one with Danny Ings because he's not the one that I really want, if I'm being brutally honest, but as a sort of stopgap, maybe. We'll see. He's one of them. I don't really want him, but if he comes, I'll get behind him.
People kind of said that about Cavani, though. There were a few question marks over him. He hadn't played a game in 3 months, and that turned out well. And I think Ings is definitely not an unknown prospect either in the Premier League.
He's proven.
He's done all right in the last couple of seasons. So it's just he's an ex-Liverpool player, which is always difficult for us, Mike, to swallow. It's a difficult one, that, but we'll get over it if he arrives.
This transfer window in general for United has been quite heavily anticipated. They're expecting a lot of signings and a lot of new faces. Do you actually see that materialising? Do you see United making many signings this summer?
I think it's going to be a really strange window for everybody. I think there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be some player trading, which we saw a bit of earlier in the last window for the first time. Some of the big teams did swaps like Barcelona and Juventus. United have got an asset in Jesse Lingard and they've got a few others which seem to be kind of in that bracket where they might listen to an offer if he was a make weight in a deal. So I think it's going to be a strange summer rather than a really straightforward one where they're going to just like bring in that summer where they just like brought in Paul Pogba and brought in Eric Bailly and kind of blew everybody away, and there were big signings. I think it's going to be really different to that. But you know, Ollie made his point clear after the Europa final that he wants 3 or 4 to catch up with City, and the word from the top, from the fans forum, is that he'll be supported. And if there is a lot of people are very upset, which have every right to be about ESL, then maybe one way to appease fans would be some signings that they all want.
You mentioned that. I just want to touch on something you mentioned there, a couple of things. You mentioned about City, about catching City. And earlier you said that, you know, Jack Grealish could be on City's radar. Do you think that deal could happen? Because then that leaves United. It's a bit of a daunting prospect if Jack Grealish does go to Manchester City.
Yeah, from what we hear, that they really like him, and Villa seem to be quite active in the transfer market as well, in terms of getting some really good attacking players like Buendia. No, I'm not saying that that's a straight replacement, but certainly there's some noises there that Grealish is had that kind of season where one of the top teams would definitely try and get him. At the moment, he's a real match winner. And yeah, I would expect somebody to make a bid for him, even if they get him or not, I don't know. But I think people will definitely try.
You mentioned as well Jesse Lingard as a potential make weight. A lot of people are sort of putting 2 and 2 together and coming up with maybe Declan Rice coming in and Jesse Lingard staying at West Ham or going back to West Ham, and United giving the Hammers some money and Jesse Lingard to make that deal happen. Is that anything you could expect? Do you think that maybe that is a potential swap deal that could be on the horizon?
It's not one that I've heard myself, actually, but just looking at kind of the transfer market, you'd see which players might be kind of used as a make weight, and you just think that, you know, Lingard with his contract situation, and the fact that he had a really good 3 months final end of the season, that, you know, he would be one that people now know is in great form. So I think that's definitely one possible, I think, rather than one that I've definitely heard. Yeah, that Lingard be used as a make weight. It just looks like it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's the general sort of consensus with a lot of people. There's nothing there to say it's going to happen. It looks like it, like you said.
Do you want him to stay, Lingard?
I don't know. He had a great spell, didn't he, at West Ham? Yeah. And I do like Jesse Lingard. He's a great guy. But I think that maybe he had a good spell because he was away from United. I'm not sure. I don't know if we're going to get that sort of form back at Manchester United. He did come back. You mentioned the fans forum. Obviously, Joel Glazer gracing United fans with his presence. There's this promise of these sort of high vote shares for fans. I mean, I'm not really au fait with how this all works, but do you think that is going to make a difference? Could that give fans more of a say in this club?
I think the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? He said the right things in the wake of a huge error, and he's saying that they will have the same voting power as the Glazers shares. So I think now it's a case of how many shares get issued. You know, if it's meaningless, then it's kind of an empty promise. But they say that they are going to be meaningful, and that fans will have a say in the running of the club more than they have. I think crucially, what we were hearing on Friday after the fans forum, obviously I wasn't there. I'm not a part of MUST. And is that they want to have it done by the start of next season. So that's a positive thing from it, that there's a time frame, and that we'll know by the start of next season, whether how many of these shares will be available for fans.
Wait and see. I'm very, very sceptical.
I'm sceptical. Cautiously optimistic.
Well, you're more optimistic than I am, to be fair.
Now, well, what do you personally feel about the future direction of Manchester United Football Club? Do you actually feel as if we'll see some real change?
In terms of the whole club, or on the pitch?
I mean, with the sort of the fan influence as
just
well.
The fan influence.
Yeah,
just
do you think there could be changes here?
I've covered all kinds of clubs up and down the country, and United, the mobilisation of the protest for the two Liverpool games postponed and then the one that went ahead is like nothing I've seen before. And it showed how much people cared about their club in a sport where people are getting more and more distanced from the product that is their team. So I think I think Joel Glazer has definitely listened to those protests and has promised to make these changes. They're good noises that he's making in terms of the future of Manchester United and having the fans have more say and having Old Trafford being brought up today and Carrington. But we will see we will see in the next year or so how true to his word that is.
Fingers crossed.
Well, we've got some fog lights on the horizon anyway, so that makes everything all right.
And finally, something a little non-United related, England at the Euros. What's your prediction for?
Yeah, I think, you can't really, you look at the format of the tournament and, you're going to really struggle to not get out of the group, you have to play really badly to not be in that, because obviously third place gets you through in top four third places. So I think that there's a really tricky second round for them if they win the group, obviously with playing the group of death, winners, runners up. So it could be tricky for them. But I think there's a real fearlessness about England. And I think some of those young ones, or kind of newcomers to England, like Grealish, all the young ones like Foden and Bellingham, it gives optimism that if they just get, that they're not scarred by any of the old failures, and they'll get there and hopefully just kind of really, really just show that fearless football that they are capable of.
Fearless football, that's what we want to see. Yeah, well, this is it. You never know. Mike, it's been great chatting to you. Appreciate you you spending a bit of time with us and talking to us.
That's all right. Sorry, I'm been straight off the football pitch.
How did you get on? Did you win?
Say, what position do you play?
Run around a bit. But no, we had seven and they had eight and we only lost 4-3. So it's a moral victory.
About to say that sounds like a moral victory.
Quality over quantity.
Vincent Kompany wants that. Mike, thanks a lot for coming on the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast.
Cheers.
So that was Mike McGrath from The Telegraph. You know what I liked about that?
Mike McGrath.
Yeah, who are Paul McGrath? Joe McGrath.
What's happened to the TH?
Mike McGrath, it's silent there. He didn't correct me anyway. He's always silent. You don't see Mike McGrath.
How about I was 2 years old and I found that out. I didn't realise.
Really?
I was thinking you were saying
you're
it wrong.
You're too young to remember Paul McGrath. Oh, you know Joe McGrath, who we have on here sometimes.
I just call him Joe, though. Not a surname, folks.
But his name aside, what I liked about him there was he was pretty honest about what he knew and he didn't know. And he's like, I've heard this and this is what I haven't heard. Jadon Sancho, the sort of same noises that everyone's been saying about the transfer and stuff like that. Little bit worrying that, Grealish to City seems to be gathering a bit of momentum because it has,
and it's one of those where it's gone a little bit cold in terms of Grealish coming to United and it's become more of a focus on him going to City. I found it really interesting that he had that little article about United players supposedly being very much in favour of Jack Grealish because professional footballers, you know, a good footballer when you see one. And if he does go to City, it's quite a scary prospect. I've got the same kind of fear if Harry Kane went to City as well.
Really?
But hopefully United do something in the transfer window and then City don't end up running away with it again.
That's what happened with Eric, Eric.
Yeah.
Players in the dressing room after the Leeds game, United players were raving about him.
Bring him.
Just saying how good he was. Not necessarily signing him, just going on about him.
Didn't Sir Alex say the exact same thing about Cristiano when he played against us?
Yeah, John O'Shea, I think.
Sign that kid, please.
And they went to sign him that day.
Yeah.
Players know. Yeah, players do know, don't they?
Yeah.
Hopefully, though, that won't happen. Even if it does, it doesn't matter. We'll get Sancho and, some new floodlights and everything will be all right. So, big thanks again to Mike McGrath. This has been the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast. Ronnie, where can people go and check you out?
RonaldoBrown_98 on Twitter.
Go and check him out.
That's where I am.
He's all
Instagram's
over.
A little bit less
Why?
Exciting. But
you youngsters, you should be all over the Instagram. That's your thing, innit?
Not very photogenic, do you know what I'm saying?
Good looking lad. We'll be back anyway with more Tier 1 Transfer Podcast throughout the summer. Every week we've got a big guest coming up as well next week.
Season two, innit?
Season two of the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast. So could be a bit of a here we go next week. Anyway, don't forget to hit like, share and subscribe. I've been Jay Moy. That's been Ronaldo Brown. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.